The Church Fathers are those great Christian writers who passed on and clarified the teaching of the apostles from approximately the 2nd through the 8th centuries. Note, this does not include the century when Jesus and the apostles lived. The era of the New Testament stands in a class all its own. The era of the Church Fathers begins where the original eyewitnesses leave off and carries us through the period of the first seven great universal or ecumenical councils that hammered out the two most central issues in Christian faith: how one God could be conceived of as three distinct persons, and how Jesus could be both God and man. Thus, these teachers help bring Christianity out of its diapers into adulthood. No one can ever again play the role that they played during those exciting formative years when the church was young. An era in four phases. From AD 100 to 800, that's a long period of time. A lot of things changed during so many years. So let's break it down into two main subcategories. First of all, we have the period of about 300 years when being a Christian was a capital offense in the Roman Empire. Right after the Edict of Milan, AD 313, granted religious freedom in the Roman Empire, a groundbreaking event in Christian history occurred: the first great universal or ecumenical council of the Church, the Council of Nicaea, AD 325. The Church Fathers who wrote during the Age of Persecution are referred to as the Ante-Nicene Fathers. Ante means before in Latin. We can distinguish two subgroups among the Ante-Nicene Fathers. First comes the group of writers who were alive when the apostles were alive. They were either immediate disciples of the apostles or had some contact with them and learned from them. They are therefore called the Apostolic Fathers. They lived from about AD 50 through about AD 150, and their writings come to us beginning around AD 95. The importance of these writers is hard to exaggerate. They helped us identify both what the apostles actually meant by what they wrote and also what the apostles orally taught but neglected to include in what came to be known as the New Testament writings. Following the Apostolic Fathers comes a distinctive group of writers, often very bright and gifted. In some cases, they were secular scholars who were won for Christ and then used all their learning to advance the cause of the gospel. We call these men apologists, since a major focus of their writings was to defend the faith against Christian heretics, Jewish critics, and pagan persecutors. The apologists lived and wrote from about the year AD 150 all the way through the pivotal Council of Nicaea in AD 325. The Edict of Milan ushered in a phenomenal era of ferment and development. The fathers following this watershed are known as the Nicene and Post-Nicene Fathers. For the next two centuries, the central teachings of the faith were hammered out by four successive ecumenical councils. The styles of formal worship that we now know, the Roman liturgy of the West, the Byzantine and Maronite liturgies of the East, took shape during this time. The canon, or official list of the various books of the New Testament, also took its final shape during this fertile time. I like to refer to this period, the 4th and 5th centuries, as the golden era of the fathers. It includes such personalities as Ambrose and Augustine in the West, and Athanasius and Basil in the East. Following this, we have a period, the 6th through 8th centuries, which is sort of an afterglow, when the remaining fathers like Gregory the Great and John of Damascus summed up, amplified, and passed on the teachings of previous fathers and councils. John of Damascus, also known as John Damascene, is usually regarded as the last of the Church Fathers. He died around AD 749. This great and diverse group of people provides us with something that we desperately need. They are a mighty cloud of witnesses to what the apostles lived and taught. But many of them were creative contributors to this tradition as well, since they provided new vocabulary, key insights, and critical clarifications, enabling the church to more profoundly understand and more clearly express the apostolic truth that these witnesses passed on to us.